I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hey everyone, and welcome to RPG From Scratch Design, episode number 53. I am your Josh, host LaForge. I am your host, Josh LaForge, and with me today is Doug.
Hello.
And Max.
It's me.
Liam is sitting out today. So, Max, you wrote a bit of short fiction just kind of for internal use for the character of Kelton Mandergrove.
Oh, yeah. Kind of a get my head about who he was.
Yeah.
The backstory of Kelton. Where did he come from?
Yeah, it was fun. It was entertaining. I know that I enjoyed it, and you brought it up as something that maybe patrons could be interested in, is something like...
Yeah, if they're interested in reading continuing backstory adventures of Kelton Mandergrove, mm-hmm. kind of a series I'm calling The True Crimes of Kelton Mandergrove.
All of them are true.
Yeah.
Including everything the Guff invented. I think that's a cool idea. I'm into reading them. We always privately lament that we don't have time to do the Bad Storytellers podcast that we were doing before, because it was so good for all of our writing. I'd be into it. I don't know. How about you, Doug?
Yeah.
All right. Well...
Yep, if you would be into it, let us know.
Yeah, I'm interested in reading more.
Scruff McGruff, Chicago, Illinois, 65652. 60652, sorry. Send your letters to...
Stick Stickley, P.O. Box 963.
Dredged up Stick Stickley from my memory. Did you realize that that's what I was thinking when you said that?
The look on your face, I was like, I'm taking a guess.
I was literally thinking, send your socks. All your socks with a worn-out elastic. Yeah. Send them to Stick Stickley at Nickelodeon. So there's a bunch of changes have happened to our system, and I'm going through and I'm adding things to the document that will eventually be like the living wiki, which is also our basis for rules. And I'm noticing the Savathian racial ability character bonus. So it just says +1 to character actions. We kind of threw out character actions as a concept because there was no sense in legislating them when it was more fun just to have people...
Just riff.
Yeah, say what they're going to say. Whoever said that was funny, they got momentum, you know? What can we give them instead? Because right now they've got that, and it's basically just a non-starter racial ability, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Huh. Maybe something to do. I know they have like the sort of mystical power set, or at least bonuses for that. Like they tend to do well with magic, correct?
Yeah, they've got intellect and composure as their two attributes, which are the two primary for magic. And their other racial abilities are underwater breathing, which we don't have to. That's great.
Right. Yeah,
remembered past, where you get a reroll on something, and rippling lunge, which is an extra damage because you snuck through an attack.
Unless it's already been taken by another racial ability, or maybe, even if it's taken, doesn't mean they can't also have it, but maybe something to do with social checks. Like if they're sort of viewed upon by society as like the wandering group of people, either you can get sympathy so that can make, you know, flavor wise, you get sympathy so it makes your checks easier, or you're seen as older and wiser, even if you're a young one who was born after the event or whatever.
I don't hate that.
Flip a coin and depending on the outcome, they'll either have a -5 outlook to you or a +5 outlook to you.
But why would you want to, you know what I'm saying? Like, why would you want to take that risk when you could just go with a flat chance?
Yeah. What we've got right now, +5 is pretty good. We've got two fish abilities and two
eel-like ones.
Right? two fish abilities and two like social abilities right now. Character bonus and remembered past. Well, they rely on that aspect of their nature, right? Bonus to checks are fine. I kind of want something cooler.
More combat focused?
I was going to say, what
rippling
if they...
Rippling Lunge and Remembered Past are... They take care of the combat stuff.
Okay. I was going to say, what if they can't be grappled? Like a... You can't cage an octopus.
Yeah. That's funny. I like that. I don't know, though. As
anytime,
like a baseline ability. Compare that to the Tiktani. Tiktani, like, it's just better. Let me pull up the...
You just can't put a Savathian in a cage. They'll get out.
You can't put baby in the corner.
No. Like an octopus, he'll just find the tube and get out. Yeah.
You can squeeze through anything that you could fit your head through.
You could say that there's a bonus to ungrapple yourself. Like if you are grappled, you get like a plus whatever bonus to anything to try and get out of it, as opposed to just you cannot be grappled.
You can inflate like a puffer fish every spot.
You can ink it and then just like, ah, what is this?
We do that, then we have to give every bug ability to every time.
Yeah, but you know what? There's so many fish abilities to escape, right? You got camouflage, you got... Camouflage.
Yeah, but, you know, yeah. Why would you not want to use that a lot?
Well, no, what about camouflage?
What about camouflage?
As its own bonus.
Like when you're hiding?
Yeah, or just like...
Like you have plus bonus to all stealth checks?
Yeah, maybe. Well, but would it just be stealth? Stealth, disguise?
Hide? Like if you're hiding?
Hiding. Like the octopus camouflage.
Ambush.
Yeah, but that'd be hiding, right?
Yeah, hiding.
How about disguise?
Yeah, disguise. I like
it's okay. I don't
disguise. But I like the idea that you could trick someone.
Because that's what rippling lunge. Yeah. Basically, the pigment on your skin flickers so that you get a better hit.
What? How shape shifty are they supposed to be though? Like, my understanding that not much.
Yeah, no, we just have the color. It's just literally the color.
Yeah. So you could argue that if you want to blend into a crowd, it's just like, oh, we're sneaking into the guff camp. One of us doesn't really look like a guff, you know? So how do you... Well, I can change my pigmentation to sort of look like fur. So if I wear a hood, you won't see my head. But if you see my arms, it'll look like fur, even though it's not like under close scrutiny. No, it's like this is just a pattern, but from a distance in a crowd.
Let's look up crazy fish abilities, huh? How about bioluminescence?
I don't want nightmares.
How about bioluminescence? You can
light up in a cave or something
for a fixed number of a fixed number of rounds.
Yeah, just become Sting. I like it.
Sting is bioluminescent.
What?
Sting is bioluminescent.
No, I'm just saying you become like you're in a
the
cave.
Sword. Yeah, the not sword. The Sting. British musician.
Oh. I thought you were talking about
he may
Sting.
Be, you know?
I was like, does he mean the singer or the wrestler?
That's really what... All right, the wrestler with the sword fighting the British singer who also has Elton John. All the knights.
I'm so stupid. I'm only just now realizing you're talking about the weapon wielded by Frodo.
Yes.
Okay.
Usually when I'm talking about a Sting,
yeah,
I have a hierarchy of Stings in my mind. I apologize.
How about bioluminescence? You can light up any portion of your body.
We say like
any portion.
Any portion.
One square?
It creates dim light around you.
So like?
For a maximum of 1 hour, you can use it once per day.
All right. So it would light up maybe 10 feet dimly?
I would say, yeah, sure. Well, more than, let's make it pretty, let's say 30 feet.
Bioluminescence is not a flashlight.
It is, when like, depending on how dark it is, it'll light some stuff up.
Yeah.
I mean, if you're in pitch black and your eyes have adjusted, it would
do a lot.
Yeah. I mean, you won't be able to see colors and stuff.
It would be sweet as sweet against, like, things that are infrared. Because does bioluminescence give off heat? I don't know. I'm not a scientist. No.
Well, I mean, it gives off. Some measure.
Some measure, because obviously.
You said science, so we're like, yes. All right, it's a chemical reaction. It's going to give off some.
Obviously. It is, but not as probably, much as a torch.
It is probably exothermic in some way, but.
Having a light source when you, oh shit, we ran out of torches, but hey, we got a Savathian, so we're not completely fucked.
God, imagine your fucking Savathian dad asking you to hold the flashlight in your fucking hand. Oh, what a nightmare. So maybe we can fold those two abilities in, right? Like, so it's very dim light, right? Any extremity, so it could be the top of your head, it could be your hands,
absolutely.
Your feet, lights up a 30-foot radius with dim light, and we haven't set rules about dim light yet, but we should. About, like, what maybe you can't discern colors, you can't, whatever. Anyway, let's not worry about dim light yet, but it lights up a 30-foot radius of dim light, and it's part of your skin. And we can just give you like a +2 bonus to disguise and to hide. Because it's like your we'll call the ability like it's something to do with your
skin. Something.
Skin. What are those called in octopodes? Octopodus?
Octopods?
Octopussies?
Suckers.
You're talking about the elasticity of it or
no,
something?
No, the actual cells that change color.
Mitochondria.
It's a powerhouse. Oh. Octopus.
Inertia is a property of matter.
It's called a lucifer.
Fuck yeah, or
leucophore.
Oh, damn.
Did you say luchador?
Oh, God. Lucifer the luchador is the devil luchador.
Yeah. He's like, he's the Mexican wrestler version of John Cena. He's like, you cannot see me.
Chromatophores. That's what they're called. So we could say that like your skin has both chromatophores and bioluminescence.
Which would explain the aspects of how they're able to change like that.
And I just like the idea that they're an undersea creature.
Yeah.
So when you're way down there and you have a civilization, that guy, he really knows how to light up a room, if you know what I'm saying.
I just imagine they would just have, like, I guess slaves or serfs just standing up on columns to light the way, right?
Well, they probably just have people hold torches and shit.
True that.
If you evolve to, you know, you can bioluminesce yourself, but when you finally develop a technology or magic to just make a lamp, then...
Under the ocean, though, that's a hell of a lamp.
Yeah.
Probably bioluminescent.
Probably a genie in there. Why have a bioluminescent lamp when you could just have a person stand there who is also bioluminescent?
Because you turn a part of your hand bioluminescent, a fish swims up near it, and your other hand that's not ignited grabs that fish, and then you eat it.
Yeah. But I'm talking about for lighting a path.
Okay.
It's less efficient.
You need to wear you got to put a bunch of the shiny side of tinfoil inside one of those dog cones and wear it, and that'll focus.
I'm just saying, how is a lamp less efficient than a living creature that needs to eat, sleep, you know, rest, all these things?
Well, Doug, I don't know if you know the kind of universe we live in.
So what do we call it? It's their skin. It's like the special properties of their skin.
Their...
The quickening.
Chimeric?
I think, what's a good synonym for, like, changing and...
Transformation?
Yeah.
Metamorphic?
I don't hate that.
Yeah, but it's still, it doesn't describe that it just looks different. You know what I mean?
It sort of over-promises.
Yeah.
Yeah, because you're not changing shape.
True.
Maybe something chromatic?
I like chromatic.
Polychromatic?
Chromoluminescence? Yeah, but are we doing the polyamory thing where we're mixing Greek and Latin?
I mean.
Scientists do it. I think we're allowed, right?
I don't think scientists do that.
Chromoluminescence?
They mix Greek and Latin all the time. That's our
In the same word?
Yeah, the whole taxonomy system is mixed Greek and Latin, isn't it?
I don't think so.
And not in the same word? Is that the rule?
I think it's all Latin. I could be wrong, but I think it is.
Oh, okay. I thought they mixed Greek and Latin willy-nilly.
So, and they make up new words, though.
Yeah. Chromodermaluminescence. Derma...
Chromodidymus.
Because derma means skin, right? So derma... Dermachromatic skin?
Latin for color is color.
Oh. Color.
It's C-O-L-O-R.
Damn.
Just exactly the same. Chromaticus. So chromatic is Latin. Okay, let's do Greek.
Tint?
Vibrant? Hue?
Color in Greek. Chroma. Okay, so maybe they're closer than I thought. So chroma, skin.
Chroma trigger.
Is derma. Light is phos. Lamp?
Phos.
Lampa. That sounds very Greek.
I still like dermachromatic, but... Dermachromitis?
Sounds like an infection.
I know. I'm throwing words together.
Lux is Latin for light. Lux of chromatic skin.
It's not bad.
It sounds like a...
Chromalux?
It sounds like a makeup from the 50s that had, like, uranium in it, you know?
Mm. Or it sounds like a new LED light bulb.
Yeah.
Lamp is Lucerna, which is kind of cool. Like a Lucerne hammer. Skin is Pelis.
I like Chromalux. Chromalux skin.
So we like Chromalux more than Lux of chromatic? Lux chromatic sounds...
It sounds more scientific.
Well, no, it's an adjective, whereas chromalux sounds like a proper noun for a company.
Sure.
Luxochromatic.
Luxochromatic skin?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Hydromatic. Greece Latin.
Doug was in Greece and sang that song.
Yep.
Really?
Yep.
It was the coolest I ever was my entire life.
I bet. What part of Greece did you go to?
It was Rydell High in 1959.
Hell yeah. Did you ever watch Your Pretty Face is Going to Hell?
Mm-hmm.
The episode where they do the play?
Oh, mm-hmm.
Okay. Well, there's an episode where they're doing a play and, you know, shenanigans ensue. And then the gym coach winds up taking over. And he's just like, blows his whistle. And he's like, go, Grease. And the kids come out. And he's like, you don't have to do all of it. Just do the fun parts.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. He's like, you're the slutty one. You're the mousy one.
All right, so I put it in there. I like that. I like plus two to hide, disguise. Plus two to changing the color of your skin to either hide or disguise yourself. Bioluminescent, you can make an extremity for a maximum of 1 hour, but you can dismiss it as a free action, but you can't use it again for 24 hours.
Sure.
Okay. Or until after a long rest, we'll say that.
How would we feel about, like, variations in our races? Like, a small section of Harad who had like tougher skin or something.
I am all about it. Mm-hmm. And that's something I've got notes about. Okay. About ideas. I love that as like a supplementary thing later.
Yeah.
Especially when it comes to like humans right now.
Just because I was reading about this alligator that lived in iron oxide water for a while over the winter and turned orange.
He looks fucking awesome.
And I imagine if the iron oxide just like soaked into their skin, they would be tougher, right? Their skin, at least?
I think they're going to be orange.
Orange, but...
it's pretty cool.
Magic iron oxide from the future.
Oh, yeah. Well, sure.
Diron oxide.
Ooh.
Well, I think also, like, different racial abilities that are still alligator or crocodile-focused, but they're just different, you know?
Yeah. The whole idea of, like, a mono...
And different colorations and stuff.
The monolithic cultures of D&D are just like, okay, you know?
Yeah.
You know?
Like, when you're talking about, the creature's small, so good. But you could also have a 12-foot, you know, Harad if you want.
And I'm glad that you guys brought that up, because the next item I have
good.
We're removing talents from our system in this current bill because we're expanding, because professions are the...
kind of the catch-all.
Yeah. Well, that's a problem for the Tolden, the humans of our world, because they have a racial ability called multi-talented. let me bring it up here.
I know how to fix it. Just give them like three more languages.
Tolden taken it. Oh, sorry. That's not the. Here we go. I don't have it in here. Multi-talented. Oh, yeah. Oh, I'm sorry. Nix that.
Okay.
Multi-talented was about them getting an additional first step.
I was about to say, wasn't that just that they sort of multi-classed?
Yeah, but I thought they got an extra talent as well.
I was going to say.
I could be wrong.
What if we just did it where all Tolden could jump 10 feet in the air?
All of them.
That's our humans. Like, they're regular humans, but every one of them can jump 10 feet.
That's how dumb I feel sometimes D&D is, where it's just like, you know, it's one of my favorite jokes I used to say about Skyrim is it happened to me. Where I'm talking to a Khajiit traveler, and like, the people here, they teach us all like beggars and thieves. And then it lets me speak. And one of my options is, can you teach me to sneak? It's, oh, yes.
You will move like the wind.
It's like, why are you all, like, it's not fair. This game is racist. And that's, I feel that D&D often makes me feel that way as well.
It's interesting, though, because they do have multiple human races. In there, and they're all different in fun ways. Like Nords have cold resistance, which I'm like, that's fine, right? Like, that's fine. But then the voice of the
voice of the Emperor.
Yeah, that's probably Imperials, isn't it?
That is the Imperials. The Bretons. Yeah.
Breton. No, Bretons are.
They have magic ability.
Yeah.
Oh, so there's Imperial and there's Breton. Bretons have the bad magic bonuses. Imperials have the voice of the Emperor, which I thought was weird. That's a weird thing to have.
It's fun though.
Yeah.
Unless he's got a weird voice.
Yes.
Then you're out of luck.
I chose Breton my first go around, even though I didn't want to use magic, because one of the bonuses is that you always find gold more easily. Like in things, I'm like, all right, fuck it.
I like to be different, so I went with like a shadowy sniper archer, you know.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Oh, okay. Bolstering is something that it feels like an artifact. It's apocryphal to our current system.
Oh.
It has to do with skill checks. I feel like we're good as far as like how skill checks work, and we add the attribute and the profession to it. But we have opposed roles. I'm going to, in a later episode, I'm going to get more into if we want to actually do opposed roles where people roll against something, or if we want it to just be a set difficulty you're rolling to beat. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. I think it's easier on the GMs generally to just say that if somebody's trying to sneak past this group, they need a sneak score higher than 22. That's it, right? So
yeah,
you're not rolling your spot check for each one of them. It's just you're designing the scene around that being something that will trigger it. Right now we have bolstering, which is basically like the aid function. We say if somebody's like, oh, I'm gonna roll to push this door, and somebody's like, I'm gonna aid. In D&D they do it if they roll a 10 or higher, they get a +2 to their roll, and sometimes multiple people can add to that. Right now we have, and so sometimes when other members of the party could have made a skill roll for the same check, say to spot something, they would rather the character with the greatest bonus roll for themselves or the group as a whole. In this instance, each bolstering player may donate momentum for a +1 bonus to the roll for each point spent.
When does that ever come up? Because I think everyone just rolls individually, and then the person with a 2 in intelligence may get a 1, and the person with no intelligence may get an 18. And
yeah, I feel like the problem it runs into is it feels like you're playing, at least the way it's described, is I feel like it's referencing 3 different games. You know, mm-hmm. What's happening is like, if you're spending momentum in our system, that means you add a d6 to something, not a +1. But adding a d6 to an ally's skill roll is ludicrous. Like, that's way too big. But if we say I aid and they get a +2, it's fine. You know, it's not spectacular either. It's fine, but also, like, how often do we want people to do, like, the gangbuster rolling where everybody's like, oh, everybody make a perception check, and then everybody rolls? Or would we rather have the people focus on the character who has the best chance and that person rolls?
I like everyone has their own perception. Maybe someone's looking in the corner and sees something that no one else sees.
Even if you're quote unquote the dumb one who never sees it, that could be a fun moment. You just got lucky, you know?
Okay. Yep. So I think I agree with you guys on that. Mm-hmm. Is aiding something that can be done on skill checks? Because that's not what's I mean, they are literally aiding by also looking, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Can we think of a skill check that somebody can actually aid with? Because if I want to do a strength check, I think the better way to do it in our system, instead of saying that one person has to score a 20 on the strength check to open the door, mm-hmm. and everybody can aid, if they roll a 10 or higher, that person gets a +2. Instead, we can do combined, right? Like I say, like, you need a combined score of 50 to push this door, and Bill rolls, Susie rolls, mm-hmm. and if their scores meet that, then they get through, and then they can spend as much momentum as they want.
For big group effort, things like that makes sense.
Yeah.
You know.
Okay. Well, what am I missing? What other skill checks would somebody try to help you with?
But I love to think of, like, intimidation.
I was going to say, social encounters might.
Yeah, guy in the back of the guy in a fight who's not going to fight, but he's in the back like, yeah, yeah.
Or not even that. If like, the face of your party is talking to mm-hmm. someone who, you know, is a bad guy, but they need something from them, and it's like, oh, what makes you think you're walking out of here alive? And then your face goes, well, I think it'd be a bad idea to fight me and my crew. And if your crew has bad charisma or bad intimidation, they just look like they're picking their nose. That's not going to help. Mm-hmm. But if you have mm-hmm. at least one of them roll high enough where, like, they crack their knuckles, and they're like, oh, okay, maybe not. That's something. And that's very social focused.
Well, here's the thing. I'm kind of liking the idea of just setting a high number that everybody has to meet, like, where everybody's score gets added to the total. The problem is that punishes people for having fewer members in their party, right? And
sure.
And most members get...
Does the GM sets that number, right?
Maybe.
So isn't that variable to the game?
Or could it be a mathematical thing where it's like, for every member of your group, there has to be, like, a base of 15, say.
We could say that.
So it's like, if you only have 3 players and it's always been 3 players, and they got to move this giant stone door, you could say, well, it's got to be at least a 45 to, you know, open that up. But if there's more of you... But then again, if you're doing Minds of Moria and, like, you know, 4 of you are pushing the door and 3 of you are shooting arrows,
and then one guy just has to walk up and say, Bella.
Well, whatever. I'm just saying. But in terms of, like, you know, if not every single member of your party is going to be focused on pushing the door open because monsters are chasing you, that's not fair to say, okay, we have to roll that base score when not everybody's contributing. But people can spend momentum.
But, I mean, you could just set the difficulty so that one member could do it, right?
Whoever's all trying.
Right, because if you say it's 20, one member can definitely hit 20.
So is it is
if
it
they, if they spend momentum? Is, but if two people do it, they probably won't have to spend momentum.
Could it be that maybe? So you're saying adjust it on the fly based on the amount of people who are even attempting it?
Depending on it, right? Because a door should be a fixed amount. Something like a door should be.
To
like,
me, that makes sense. It's just a matter of trying to keep it fair. Because if, for whatever reason, if most people decide not to contribute to that because they may think the bigger problem is the oncoming enemy or something. Like, there's always going
to
be a situation.
Then that person on their turn is still trying to beat that score.
Sure. So they can just keep re-rolling until they do it.
Does that lead to an unnecessary table of door types?
No, I think that's something that GM would do on the fly.
Okay,
I think legit. Like you got let's because you were saying doesn't the GM set that? Let's separate the GM from the person who wrote the adventure because eventually we'd like to write adventures.
Yeah, okay, I see what you're saying.
You would say this door needs a strength check of 20 to pass, right? Mm-hmm. And any number of people can
absolutely
attempt it, but it takes a round, and in combat that can be different. That could be difficult, but like the size of the door may matter. Like no more than two people can attempt to push this because it's not wide enough.
Sure.
You know? So you can just specify, like when they come to a room, you just say this door, you would write it in the description of the item that can have a skill check done against it, right? But if we're talking about an intimidation check, I think what would happen is everybody's in the room and you're like a tough looking party, right?
Yeah.
And you're like, okay, we're going to try to intimidate them. You're like, all right, I need a group roll. There are five of you. Everybody needs to do better than 13. Well, sorry. So 5 times 13 because they can see all of you.
Yeah.
Yeah, I like the idea of a group roll with a set
difficulty.
Challenge. Yeah, set difficulty. So that can apply to so many things, you know.
Well, then let's think of instead of making it so that everybody has to individually pass a check for something like sneaking, there's a great one, right? Instead of everybody has to beat a 15, otherwise that person fucks it up for the whole group, you multiply the base difficulty by the number of people, and if the group exceeds that, they all do?
Yeah.
Is that a reasonable way?
Because you can be sneaky as hell, but if you got four people who aren't, they're going to know you're there.
Yeah, but I also just don't like the fact that like in a Pathfinder game, I'm playing a guy in full armor, and it just means that we never try to sneak anywhere. And that's less fun, right? Yeah. It's just less fun than being like, well, we can, you know, it's a base difficulty.
It is a little weird though if you have a giant Hrod who's on fire all the time. You basically have Johnny Storm on your team, lit up like a beacon, and suddenly it's like, okay, we're all going to try and sneak in here, and just because everyone else rolls well, nobody else sees you either.
Well, they're helping. Like, it's like group sneaking. You're doing the mystery team thing. Yeah, Scooby Doo is not a stealthy person, but when that group sneaks, they sneak as a team.
I just think the more people in a team, the harder it is to sneak in reality, isn't it?
Yeah, well, I think that will be representative, right? Mm-hmm. So, for instance...
Whereas this would argue the opposite, that the more people rolling...
I feel like it's an orcish.
No, like...
We really believe in it, so it works. Like,
yeah.
We're really sneaky.
Well, I think that like the rest of the team being sneaky can help the person who's not, you know?
As long as... But are we talking about it scaling, the difficulty scaling? Like,
yeah.
Where it's like, okay...
It's per person. So you would say... You would say, like, if the difficulty to sneak past this group is 20 per person.
Yeah.
Right? And there's six of you. You know, what's that, 120?
Is that any different than just doing a standard skill check for each individual person?
Yes. Because if everybody rolls well and one guy rolls poorly, you fail.
Okay, that's true, yeah.
Whereas if you say, oh, the difficulty is 20 times six.
And one guy completely whiffs.
But everybody else got it.
Yeah.
Then they make it somehow.
Sure.
And that way, if we fail the stealth check, it could have been any member of the group who rolled poorly instead of just the guy who's bad at stealth, right?
Yeah. Because that also makes less sense if you're the person who's really great at stealth and you just happen to go really bad, but the whole group does well. Then it's not like, why did the person who's the master of stealth totally fuck up when we're just sneaking past a sentry? You know?
Yeah.
So, that makes sense.
I think, just random circumstance. But I love the idea of like spotlights, like focusing on one person. Everyone else in the group is just scattered.
They leave.
Yeah.
What about perception?
Should we have like party, like aura? Like here's your party,
like
charisma. Here's like your party.
What's a passive perception for a group?
Yeah.
So like, your group is really intimidating. So people are.
I think people would get based on their profession or or however they made their path or whatever, they would get bonuses to intimidate. I think there's a lot of situational bonuses that we need to talk about too. Mm-hmm. We'd be like, oh, you just did this thing, you're gonna get a +2. I'm giving your group a +2 to do this thing.
A passive perception it depends because a group will have different focus. You know, as your group sitting around a campfire telling stories and then someone's stealthing up, to murder one of you, or are you on the march going, you know, are you traveling, or are you on guard because you know there's a monster out there trying to hunt you down and you're sleeping in shifts? Like, each of these things are technically, you need a passive perception, but the context completely changes how much energy you're putting into that.
I kind of like rolling as a group, even in perception. I know it's not that realistic. I don't know. I don't want to add it to the rule book yet. I just kind of, can we put that?
Sure. Absolutely.
Because if we're like, it's a 15 per person, but there's only three party members. So if their combined roll can get to 45, they will spot this thing.
And the bare minimum, the minimum that you are asking for would change depending on the situation.
Yeah.
Because if it's the rabbit from Monty Python, you know, it's hiding in the bushes, it's going to be harder for you to find than if it's a giant golem.
Absolutely.
Know? So.
No, it would be specific. Like, you would say that this, again, I'm not sold on this. I'm not married to it. But the idea, I feel like it's got some legs that we
just
should
what I see
explore
as
a little bit.
Being less from the mechanic side and more the creative side, like, I just see that creating so many story events.
Yeah.
That would not happen.
I also feel like it's just fun.
Yeah.
So people complain about everybody has to do this roll off for the perception. Oh, they're going to metagame because they know that they don't see something. I feel like it's still fun to ask the whole group for a perception check.
Yeah.
You're like, I need a perception check from everybody. Everybody's like, oh, shit. That's fun. I like doing that. What do you guys think?
I'm down with it. I like it.
I like the idea of asking the entire group. It's just a matter of knowing what that number is going to be once we actually tackle it in depth.
Yeah. I feel like that's relatively easy because we already have rules for how difficult things are individually. A listen check, you know, if it's like, you know, it's clear day, it's a murmur, buzz, racket, cacophony. Like, we've got these things that are compounding. They add to the difficulty of hearing something. How easy it is to see things with different light. Yeah, I want us to think about skill checks in general because I want to think about opposed rolls versus rolling against a defense and then difficulty of group rolls, whether or not we can aid. But I think that aiding somebody should be something that is a cumulative skill check rather than just a flat plus two.
Yeah.
At least that sounds more fun to me. One person in your group trying to intimidate might cow one person, but if you're trying to convince the gangster den to give you their money, you're gonna have to.
See, that's what's always struck me about like an intimidation check. Like, one person is being really scary, but then you got four other goofballs just standing around picking their nose. Like,
yeah.
Well, it's also, I feel like those should be situational, right?
Yeah.
Like, in a situation where everybody else is present and the threat is that everybody's gonna do something, I feel like the whole group's got to roll. But if one person's like, "Do this, or I'm gonna stab you,"
right?
You know? Yeah. It's okay for that one person to make that check. Okay, well, let's think about that. I want to throw it out there to the patrons, too, if they have any thoughts about it, because I've had a lot of experiences one way or the other, and I understand the virtues of all of them, but we do kind of have to pick one.
Because most fun?
Yeah,
that's the thing.
Having a bunch of different ways to do it is a little overcomplicated.
I'm leaning more towards the group effort because everything about the system has been about making a team, you know, and everyone being able to check and balance off of each other. So it's kind of like you're in it together or you're not, you know? Yeah,
it's true. Well, all right, let's think about that. Let's think about skill checks. Let's think about opposed rolls, like I said, versus rolling against a defense. I like rolling against a defense generally. I think I'm more sure about that than about the group skill checks. Like, for grappling, I don't want to do counter rolls. I feel like somebody has to beat a defensive number to grapple somebody.
I think that's...
Unless it's another PC.
Or a Savathi.
Well, but if they're rolling against a PC, they just have to be that PC's defense against it. And then on that person's turn, they have to try to escape it, you know, and they have to beat a certain number.
I'm just saying, are they sparring, you know, for fun? Like, is it like, you know, where they're both doing an action at the same time and you're both rolling opposed rolls, then whoever tips it out on that...
What I'm saying is, instead of going, okay, let's see who gets the grapple, both of you roll at the same time.
Yeah.
Instead of saying that, like, okay, it's your turn. Are you trying to go for a grapple? You did. Now it's this person's turn. What are they doing? I'm going to try to escape. All right, you roll. Like, that's the difference between the two.
Because it's a second and a half, right?
Yeah. Well, it's 6 seconds around.
Is that what? Okay.
Yeah. Let's just use that as an extremely loose
number. But
I'm just
saying, like, my turn is so fast that it's not like the other guy's waiting around. Like, I would grab someone, and then their brain would have to react.
Yeah. If you think of rounds and turns are just a kind of mess that's all sort of happening at the same time with a timeline, then it works out. But this is a tactical game that's like super chess, so there will be turns, and there will be things that, you know, don't perfectly match. Still on skill checks for a second.
Wicked.
what kind of action does it take to do a skill check in combat? Does it depend on the kind of check?
Yeah, if it's intimidate, that sounds more like a character.
Like a swift for an intimidate check?
Yeah.
Versus an attack action if you want to do a distracting, flourishing movement or something?
Maybe.
Maybe that's something we can leave up to GM discretion.
I was going
to
say, anything you're doing with your hands is an attack.
Attack.
Yeah, yeah, do you have a... Well, if you're a magic user who uses your hands instead of an implement, then maybe it's not as hard to do something. But if you're a warrior, a citadel, who's got a shield in one arm and a sword in the other, then...
How about just, we'd say, for actions that would just require quick speech, it could be a swift. For anything longer, it's an attack.
Yeah, I'm down with that.
If rounds are roughly 6 seconds... Then anything longer than get down, you know, like, or move
over there.
Yeah. Shut up, sit down like that. Then it's going to be, we're going to be in round time.
Yeah. If you're going to land in the car and do the Captain America speech of, all right, I need you over here. Get these men over here, men. Take the hostages.
Oh, that's a full round.
Yeah. That's not a swift action.
Okay. Something I did for many patrons will already be aware of this, but I added early release episodes to the $5 Patreon tier. So they're going to get them as soon as I'm done, which is a couple weeks out from when they would normally release with our current schedule. Design episodes are releasing 2 weeks apart. And I think that's good. I'm honestly happy for anybody giving us $5 to get all the content. Okay, I think that's going to be everything we talk about for today. I feel like skill checks, now that we've removed talents and now that we're making professions more of the core of our system... in the way that we have that makes them so central to your character. I really want to get this nailed down, but I think maybe it's probably going to take some playtesting to really find out if there's some big overarching flaw we haven't thought of. Right. Or, I mean, patrons obviously chime in.
Or any of our flaws, really, patrons.
All right, so thank you everyone for listening as always. If you have comments or suggestions, our Patreon is patreon.com/RPGFS. Our $2 and up patrons can find us on the Omniverse Discord if they want to chat with us a little more loosely. And on Twitter, we are at homebrewhombres and on Facebook at facebook.com/RPGFS. And until next time, stay safe, stand watch, and get a full rest.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.